Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Rick and Rob, the Nomad Pastor Podcast. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm real good. It's been a great day.
Man, it's always a great day, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just long.
Yeah, sometimes it do get long. But yeah. The weather is gorgeous. You know,
why it's not such a great day for me? I can't ride.
Yeah.
The weather's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And that's the reason I didn't ride over here tonight, because I knew you couldn't, and it just, you'd be salivating, I know, when I pull up.
Yeah. I did buy a backrest.
Oh, you did?
Driver backrest.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm getting old.
Yeah, I put mine back on the other day, too.
I opened the box today. It came today, and Linda goes, "What's that?" I said, "It's my old man backrest."
Yep. Yep, because I ride a geezer glide.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. So we, last week's podcast, I thought was amazing.
I enjoyed it. It was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't really have a focus. It was just, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
But what we wanted to do today, you and I had been texting back and forth, and we want to talk about what does it mean to be a Christian man?
Yep.
That's a hard one for me. When I sent you the list of, like, here's some topics.
Right.
I thought, don't pick this one.
That's, you know, it's, I have a funny story.
Okay.
Rebecca tells a story about when she got saved.
Okay.
And she said, "Look, I promised the Lord I'd do anything. Just please don't ask me to cast out demons." So when you said, don't pick that one, I was wondering which one would probably be the most, I don't want to say dangerous, but, you know, the one that could go on. It's kind of like the Lamb Chop song.
Yeah.
And this topic could go on and on and on and on.
That's what scares me. And it's a hard conversation.
It is.
Because I think there was a period in my life that I thought, man, I'm running hard, mm-hmm. right? I'm a good Christian.
Yeah.
Because I went to church on Sunday.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I went to church on Sunday.
And you checked your ticket.
I paid my tithing.
Exactly.
And that gave me the right to say I'm a Christian.
Yeah. Well, and the misconception that so many people have about that is that, you know, because I've done such and such, I can punch my ticket and I'm a good Christian.
Right. Right. Because that's what I thought being a good Christian was.
Yeah.
Right. I thought, okay, I'm a good Christian man. How do I do this?
How long did it take you to find out?
You know, it was probably a good year.
Yeah.
And it took a book.
Really?
It took a book. There was a book called A Courageous Call to Manhood. I don't know if you've read it.
I haven't read it.
It's maybe 100 pages.
Oh, it's a bathroom reader.
It's quick. I read it in a night.
Yeah.
A couple hours. And it's I think the author is Dennis Rainey. And there's an actual Bible study that goes with it if you wanted to do that, right?
Okay.
And I read this book, and like I said, 100 pages, and I was crying.
I can't picture it. Well, I can't because I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. but I went to Linda, and I said, you know, I'm not a real man.
Mm.
And you know, there were just so many little things in the book. I can't tell you specifically it was this.
Right. Right? It was a culmination of
But things. It was a culmination of all of these things in this book, you know. And one of them was like, you know, during World War II when the bombs are dropping, it tells the story of one of the bombers, you know, like had a misfire.
Mm-hmm.
And some 19-year-old kid jumped on it in the bomber. And saved all of the crew.
Wow.
Right? And here he is, this Christian, and I'm just like, you know. And it always asked this question in the book. It said, and he would go ask people these questions. He said, "What was the last thing you did that was courageous?"
Mm.
Think about that. What was the last thing you did that was courageous? And I thought and thought and thought, and I— Like what God would define as courageous?
It's way outside of our comfort zone.
Right.
I mean, way outside.
More than anybody probably knows.
Exactly. Yeah, because to define being courageous or having courage, you know, for different people, I think would have different definitions.
Yes.
And putting himself on top of a dangerous situation like that is commendable, but it's also something that you want to at some point obtain that kind of courage.
Yeah.
As a man.
Right.
Not just a Christian man, as a man.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think he goes through the book and he talks about, you know, maybe that act of courage was, you know, feeling the spirit and answering the call. Right. How many times have you, and I think he asked this question either in the book or some of the follow-up stuff that I did, but how many times have you been at a restaurant and felt the spirit tell you to do something, mm-hmm. you didn't do it?
And then you walk out feeling like, I'm such a jerk.
Right. For the rest of the evening.
Yeah.
And the next day.
Right.
Like, you know, so I think that's perfect when we talk about what does it take to be a Christian man?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Mm. You know?
Yeah.
That's why I said don't pick that one.
Too late.
Here we are.
Right? Here we are. Here we are. So let me ask your opinion.
Okay.
And what you think. And I'm not looking for a bullseye target answer on this, but just a conversation starter answer.
Okay.
What does it look like to Rick to be a Christian man?
I mean, you know, to me, I feel like to be a Christian man is to accept, recognize, and follow what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
I like that.
It may sound like a canned answer.
Well...
I don't know that I've ever heard it.
I've never heard it, but it's a...
But that's what I think, right?
It's a pretty solid answer.
Thank you. And I feel that way because it's easy to say I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to actually follow through.
To walk it out. Yep.
Right? Yep. I know you've heard me say it before probably, but it's like the hardest, easy decision I've ever made.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think there was a period of time that I didn't really want to dig deep into the Bible. I didn't want to, like, I had read the Bible, but I didn't want to really read the Bible.
Yeah.
To really study the Bible.
Yeah.
Because if I do, well, I got to do it.
You got to apply it.
Right? I can't know the truth and not apply the truth.
Well, the beauty of that, though, is for me, you know, in learning the Bible, and you know this about me. I'm a history guy.
Yeah.
I love, especially, you know, history that forms, and all history does, but what I mean is forms a belief pattern, especially, you know, and like World War II, and, you know, I'm soaking in every part of it.
Right.
So, you know, I'm trying to figure out how Volkswagen had such a major impact in, you know, Nazi Germany at the time, and now it's a recognized product across the world.
Right, right.
So I look at the study of Scripture and study of the Bible in that manner, in that I want to know why this particular Scripture, either what Paul said or what Peter said, or what this particular part of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what those pertain to that audience, and how I can glean from that something to make me better, to shape my beliefs and grow my faith.
Mm. Yeah.
And then... And then looking back at, you know, Old Testament text.
Right.
Now I get into some of the minor prophets, and there's some astounding revelations in there. Yeah, that you go, you read it and you go, wow. You know, but you can't, just like you can't take a part of history out because you don't like it.
I agree with that.
The same thing goes with studying the word.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You can't take part of it out because you don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like the way that sounds. I don't like the way that look. You know, how does that work out? I don't like the way that will make me feel if I do this.
Right.
So that's part of being a Christian man is realizing the Bible in its entirety is for my growth.
So how would you answer the question that you asked me?
I knew you was going to say that. So being a Christian man, to me, and I've thought about this quite a bit today because I knew this question was going to come up to both of us and how we would answer it. So I was thinking about it and I thought, you know, there's not one answer that actually defines it. You know, there can be some broad strokes, you know, to kind of give a picture of it. One of those broad strokes would be someone that is willing to grow, willing to serve, and willing to take risks for growing his faith and for standing up for what he believes in.
I think it's huge to think about that willingness, mm-hmm. right? The willingness to grow, the willingness to take risks. I think it's really underestimated. Because, you know, we're raised, the way I was raised, like, suck it up, you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to worry about that. Go do you, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, the way I was raised is really the just complete opposite of be willing to grow,
mm-hmm.
right? Be willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right? Vulnerability is not a manly quality that the way you're raised, I was raised.
No, but the view
it is.
Of it, it is. It is. But the view of it is skewed.
That's right. That's right. The view is very skewed. You know, that if you're vulnerable, you're weak.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weakness.
Right.
And that's really hard. Like, how do you overcome that perception from other people that vulnerability is a weakness?
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you get them to understand not just that vulnerability is a strength, but how do you get them to agree to walk that out?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We talk all the time about accountability and transparency.
Yeah, we do.
You know, and we talk about you got to be accountable. You got to be transparent and be open, and you have to let people see what you are.
Yeah, so that accountability is a big one too, right? To be a man, you have to be accountable to somebody.
And you have to let somebody else be accountable to you.
Yes. Yeah. So how do you – this is like a common thing that I've asked lots of pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'll ask them, who's your pastor?
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because your pastor – they need somebody to be accountable to.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And it would surprise you how many of them would say, I don't have one.
Mm. That's
like, have you asked your pastor? Like, have you?
Well, yeah. And I know the answer.
Okay. See, perfect.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But, and I think it's common in a very structured church
mm-hmm.
to have the right answer.
Yeah. To have the right answer on paper.
Yes. But do they practice that?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Right.
Is that actually something that's practiced and lived out? And,
yeah.
You know, is it something that's just given lip service to, or is it, you know?
I've had a lot of pastors say that, you know, God is my pastor.
Well,
he's mine too, right?
Yeah, but still, that's kind of a cop out.
I agree that it is.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's one of the kind of fundamental questions I ask people when we're looking at, like, when we're visiting churches.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because from a ministry point of view, you visit a ton of churches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I visit a ton of churches.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Right?
We do.
And so I just want to know, Like, yeah. I want to know how people feel about it.
Yeah. And Drew, if you're listening, I know the answer. Trust me. I know the answer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. That's very good. So I have this book, right? I did this Bible study. And I don't know if you've ever done this one. It's 30 Virtues That Build a Man. Mm-mm. And it's like you're supposed to go through it in 30 days.
Really?
Right? Yeah, it's one a day. The book is amazing. In fact, after, you know, I did this with BFC, like, you know, at every chapter meeting I would mm-hmm. go and we'd talk through this, right? And
read oh, wow, that's stuff. Cool.
And Joe ended up taking it to some of the recovery houses and stuff oh, yeah. as well, right? But I made some notes, like just some post-it notes in here, right? Because there were some to me that are very important, right? And one of them was values, right?
Mm-hmm.
Values are the measure of every man.
Right.
And the scripture is Isaiah 29, 13 mm-hmm. to 15.
Wow.
It says, and the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me mm-hmm. with their lips,
yeah.
while their hearts are far from me and their fear of me is a commitment taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord, your counsel whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, who sees us, who knows us?
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And what it talks about is, you know, you got to understand the value of, like, what are your values?
Right.
Right? And it says, in the middle of the night, there's a fire in your home. If you could save only one item, what would you choose?
That's...
Right?
Yeah. The one, it had to be my wife.
That's right.
Have to be my wife.
Have to. Has to be your wife or your family.
I can't, everything else I can replace.
That's right.
Yeah. It had to, yeah. That would, yeah. It'd have to be. And that's not just a stereotypical, you know, Jesus answer. That's the truth.
Right.
You know, there, I was trying to think of something that would be more materialistic or something that would be, but she is, that's my life.
That's right. That's
you know?
And it says, a man of God is driven by the things he values the most.
It's funny you say that. you're talking about books. I read a book, Louis Giglio wrote it. It's called The Air
oh,
I
yeah.
Breathe.
Oh, yeah. I have not read it, but I have heard about it.
It's a little palm-sized book.
Yeah.
And it's about, I don't know, half an inch thick. Yeah. It may be 100 pages, really. And he goes on to talk about, you can follow what a man holds dear in his heart. The things that he... the things that are prevalent in his conversation, in, you know, the things he has on the wall.
Yeah.
On the things he follows on, whether it be the radio, podcast, on the internet.
Social media,
you know. Yeah. And ultimately find what he worships.
Absolutely.
You know, and it a lot of times, it's not a very far hunt to find it.
That's true.
You know. So what he values, what he holds in his heart, what he holds dear is ultimately what he worships. And, you know, whether it be the Titans or, you know, college football.
Yeah.
We're not going to. Yeah. Here we go. I saw a cowboy meme today. I almost sent it to you, but anyway.
That's all right.
Anyway, but Harley Davidson.
Right.
Fishing.
Absolutely.
Hunting, yeah. You know, whatever, your club, you know,
yeah.
whatever, that's ultimately what you worship. And so that was one of those turning points for me as a light bulb moment to say, what are people seeing? that's important and prevalent in my life. More importantly, what is God seeing?
Yeah.
What is he seeing? You know, because I need to refocus my priorities.
You know, I look at, I'm not a fan of social media. It's a necessary evil.
It is.
Right?
It really is.
And I mean it when I say evil, but for me, you know, it's a great way for me to see what the kids are doing and the grandkids and, you know,
keep up with
what's going on. But I don't want to use the word despise, but what I despise about it is there's a lot of our friends that we both know that clearly idolize other things.
Exactly.
Right? And I'm not naming names.
Don't have to.
Right? But when you see what people post on Facebook, just like you just said about what Giglio's book says, right? You go, now does that really glorify God? Like, is what you're saying show – what does it say about you as a Christian?
Right.
Right? And I go back to the BFC guys all the time. Like, I'll call them and I'll say, take that down.
I've done that.
Right?
Yeah, as a state P, I've done that.
Right? Because you're not just representing yourself.
No.
Right? So I'm a state elder just like you're the state P, and that representation is important to me.
Exactly.
And but it makes me think, like, where did you think it was okay to post it?
Well, so this goes back to how this conversation started.
Yeah.
And what does it look like to be a Christian man? Or what does it mean to be a Christian man? And I think a lot of times, because of there not being a bullseye definition that hits the nail on the head.
Yeah.
You know, that interpretation of what someone would even value.
Right.
You know, maybe a little bit different. Or it obviously is. Here's the thing. We've talked about so many times, even with Little Wolf, about working for the same God. You know, we have the same boss.
That's right. That's right. We do. Yeah.
So whatever that looks like in a unified effort to make sure that we follow out that mission, this goes back to accountability and transparency and how we show other men.
Yeah.
How, and it's not, I don't have the market cornered on how to act as a Christian man. Because I show my backside from time to time. I'm being honest, you know.
No, me too. And I struggle. I've called some of those men and said, you know, I don't have authority because they're not in our ministry, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they wear a different patch. And I've said, I really don't know if you should be posting that.
Yeah.
And I generally get a response, if you don't like it, don't read it.
I get that too.
And it's, well, frankly, it's frustrating.
It is. And because of what those men are trying to represent on the outside, whether it be on the weekends or away from social media or whatever, you know, the things that they're trying to portray as a God-fearing, God-loving, Jesus-following, you know, sold-out believer. And then some of the things, you know, are borderline iffy, you know.
I think some things are like, well, they jumped completely over the line.
Yeah, some of them are. And I know what you're talking about.
Right.
But at the same time, though, to be a Christian man, I think takes that confidence, and I don't want to say confidence. I want to say takes that directive to call that brother, to call that person and say, this is probably something that you shouldn't have posted, whether I want to read it or not. The rest of the world is, and what is this looking like in your witness?
Yeah, that's where I struggle, right? Is I struggle with what does it look like in your witness? What does it saying to people? Because you know, as Christian men, we need to uphold a certain standard. We're not perfect.
No, right? No.
We're not perfect.
Not trying.
We're going to fail.
Exactly.
All the time, right? I've probably sinned 20 times today. I don't really know. I repent, you know.
And it's there, yeah.
You know, sorry, God, I'm going to try to be better tomorrow.
Right? Right.
You know, and we've talked about that. But as, you know, I feel like sometimes people, men, believe or idolize the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
right, more than they do God.
Yep.
Right? Well, it's my God-given right. Well, I don't see anywhere in the Bible. Now, look, I'm all about our rights, but that's not.
Wait, if you're going back to Luke 22:36, you might want to read that now.
I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
Right?
I know what you're saying.
You know, we just have to figure out how to grow.
Yeah.
That's what you said, right?
Right.
You got to
right.
be willing to grow.
Right.
So if we're going to be willing to grow as Christian men, how do we do that?
Well, I don't think you pour diesel fuel on a bonfire.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Because all that's going to do is get you cooked.
Yeah.
I mean, and I say that because a lot of times, getting back to the social media thing.
Yeah.
A lot of times somebody's posting that let me tread on this lightly because
that's what we got to do.
Yeah. But let me say it like this. I'm not trying to infringe on anybody's rights. I'm not.
Me neither.
But a lot of these posts that we're referring to are out there as, number one, an argument starter.
Yes.
Or in retaliation to another argument.
That's right. That's right.
So when I say you don't pour diesel fuel on a bonfire, that's what I mean. You don't go out and start an argument. You don't go out and, you know, keep the fire burning in an argument by the things that you post and comment with and things like that. You know, the political landscape right now in government is so roller coaster, topsy turvy,
yeah,
that, you know, one minute conservatives are mad.
Right, right, right.
Another minute liberals are mad, and then they end up getting mad at each other.
And at the end of the day, they don't really know why.
No, you don't. Right. Nobody knows why.
They don't know why they're mad at each other. And I think that's why as men, we got to figure out how to be above that. Right.
Yeah.
Because if we're above that, right, and we're not worried about biting back at somebody
mm-hmm.
for whatever we think we deserve or don't deserve or how we were treated or how somebody else was treated, if we just cared more about how do I grow through this and love them the way Christ loved them.
See, now then you're trying to pour concrete over quicksand when you say love them.
Am I?
Well, let me say it like this. Not to us.
That's right.
But to people who argue for the sake of argument. You know, so many times you've heard it and you've been told, you know, well, I'm not going to go to church with all those hypocrites.
Yeah. Look, there was a period of my I said it.
Well, but here's the deal. The difference in being a hypocrite and being called a hypocrite.
Right, 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 right.
You know what I mean?
It's true.
The hypocrite knows he's a hypocrite.
That's true.
And the one calling the names doesn't realize he is too.
That's true. That's true. I agree with
you. So when you engage in those things, whether it be on social media, face-to-face, or whatever, and you're keeping that fire going and fanning that flame, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on.
Yeah, let me clarify something. So when I say love them, I don't mean reply.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I was going to land that at. Yeah.
I don't mean reply.
Right.
Because you're just, like, you're fanning it.
Right.
right? Because they don't want to hear your love.
Yep.
That's right. So when I say love them the way Christ would, right, I'm just going to go pray for them. I'm going to love them through it. But any reply, regardless of what it is going to cause more fire.
More fire. More right? division.
More yeah. division. And so as a man, I have to be able to hold back. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a post and been like, that's the biggest load of crap. I'm going to reply.
Yeah.
And then that's right. That's right.
And I just made the noise on the table.
That's right. And then I say, wait, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't reply. I may type it like 30 times.
Oh yeah.
But I never push post.
You know what? Microsoft Word is beautiful for that.
I know it is.
Because you're going to copy and paste it at that point. And you're
I know. I know it is. So I do Word for emails that I don't want to send.
Yep. And I can't tell you how many times I have erased what I have typed out.
Yeah.
Whether it be on a post or a text message or an instant, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just realized that when I do picture in picture with me, like it covers my head.
Okay. See,
we're learning.
Part of doing this thing is learning how to make all of the gadgets work together.
Yeah. We're going to figure it out.
In the most appropriate way.
You know, that is true.
Right.
That is true. So as we talk about, you know, what it means to be a Christian man, you know, it's easy to say, well, I got to take care of my family. Right? Mm-hmm. I got to take my family to church. I got to, you know, raise my kids to believe in God and in Christ and the resurrection and, you know, and everything. It's mm-hmm. easy to say that.
Yeah.
But as our kids grow up, they go to college, they live in this secular world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I have personally struggled with is, how do I keep them engaged once they leave the nest? I know they have the right values, right?
Yeah.
I know that they're not out robbing and stealing and, you know, pillaging and, you know, whatever they could be doing.
Whatever they can be doing, yeah.
You know, but how do I keep them engaged in
spiritual manner?
Spiritually. Yeah. It's been a challenge for me.
Yeah, me too. Because both of us are empty nesters. All of our kids are grown. They're out of the house. Yeah. They have their careers. They have, you know, things going for them to get them rolling in life. And to keep them spiritually engaged.
Yeah.
Especially when they grew up in not just a Christian environment, Christian loving home where, you know, the Bible was studied. The Bible was, you know, I'm fallible, but lived out.
Yeah. And for me, it's, it wasn't that way. Right. I mean, because I came to Christ like 10 and 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. You know, our youngest is 26. So, you know, they were in their teenage years getting ready to go to college. The youngest were
mm-hmm.
when I came to Christ.
Right.
And now they're like, come on, Dad, really?
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, I grew up in church, you know, walked away from it for a long time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, fell into addiction. And my kids, let's see, 2008. Yeah. I had three kids that were still young enough. They were still in high school, you know, middle school and high school. When I started in recovery in 2008, so to sit the kids down, all of them, and say, look, I'm ashamed to tell you this, but here's the reality of it, is that I'm going into recovery for alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, eyes get real big and they go, well, we knew you were, you know, drinking. We knew you, you know, would have some beers and have some mixed drinks and things like that. And we knew that you had toned down from the, you know,
right,
the party days.
Right.
But what's going on? And I'm saying, look, I'm telling you this to be accountable and to be transparent, but this was something that I couldn't manage, because you have a good day, you go celebrate.
That's right.
You have a bad day, you got to wash it away.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you can't sleep well. Man, it's been a long day. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I'm going to have a couple shots, you know,
yeah,
or I'm going to take this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and so you justify those things in your mind. So when you set them down and tell them, look, this is the reality of me right now, that brings that vulnerability in that comes with the accountability and transparency.
Right.
But at the same time, it also shows them what your value is. Now then, our kids, both of our kids, are older, out of the house, and living on their own. What they, to keep them spiritually engaged, in my mind, means they need to know that I am.
I could see that.
So that I can have those conversations with them about whatever, whether it be something that, you know, I heard in a sermon, or something that I'm studying in a study or a devotional, yeah, or, you know, and now we talked last week's podcast was about, you know, we got into the technology side of things.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, with different apps and things, you can have those, you know, online studies
absolutely,
with each other, you know.
Yeah.
So there are tools there for that. But I think the biggest thing is them seeing us as Christian men being engaged spiritually ourselves. I read a stat, and I don't remember when it was, but it was in, I was getting ready to teach a class from R. Kent Hughes called Disciplines of a Godly Man, from his book.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you read that book?
I have not read the book.
Man, that's a great book. It's a really good book.
Okay.
It was written back in the 80s or 90s. I can't remember now when it was actually written, but everything in it is still relevant in 2022, you know?
That makes sense.
So one of the things that I read in preparation of reading this book, and I don't remember if it was in this book or if it was something I was reading up to it. Sorry. I got a frog in my throat today. Was that churches have done studies and have seen that when a mother brings the children to church, that I think it was 38% of those kids that came to church with their mother remain in church.
Seems like a low number, but
when a father brings their kids to church, 96% of kids, 96%.
That's, that's amazing, but what a number.
Right. But what the study was showing is that the engagement of men in their children's lives spiritually leads them to stay engaged and stay in a relationship with Christ.
Hmm. You know, it's I love how you said it's, you know, it's us living the way we live,
mm-hmm,
today. Because, you know, and everybody listening knows this, I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah, right? And so at that time, I think 80% of the population was Mormon.
Right.
Right? And I wasn't having any of it.
Yeah.
But our daughters still live there, mm-hmm, right? And you're right when you say the way we live today. Because even just I think it was yesterday, my mom sent me a text, and she lives in Utah with my sisters. And she said, my stepdad, who passed away, he was an alcoholic, and he had passed away from cirrhosis of the liver.
Cirrhosis, yeah.
Right? That his family, who were Mormon, were calling my mom and asking for permission to do some temple service ceremony for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to get my opinion on it.
Oh, boy.
Right? And so, I mean, I just laid it out for her, like, you know, Mormons aren't Christians. Period. They can't claim to be. Right. I know they say Church of Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ or whatever, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right.
But you can't believe that God was a man that walked the earth and was exalted to a God,
mm-hmm.
and believe in Genesis 1, let there be light.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't.
And you can't believe that men will be exalted to godhood and believe in Isaiah.
Nope.
Right? Because it's one God, none before, right. none after. I'm the one and only true God.
Right. Right.
And you can't believe, and I told her all of this, right? But you can't believe that Joseph Smith at 16 kneeled down and prayed, and an angel Moroni came to him and told him of this new gospel, when in Galatians 1 it says, even if an angel comes to you
right.
and preaches yep. and preaches a different gospel, you will be cursed.
Right. Right. Yep.
And my mom said, got it. Got my answer. Fake religion.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Yeah. Well, and at is it First Peter or First John? Let me think about it. I don't remember. It's either First Peter or First John, where it says, "Beloved,
yeah,
test the spirit."
Preach that, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So if at 16 years old, what were you thinking about at 16? Was it about praying?
No.
That's what I'm
not even close.
It was, and I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, okay? Because that 96 percentile stat that I just threw out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I am saying, though, is at 16 years old, you kneel down to pray, and an angel comes to you and tells you of something different. That is a religion of convenience.
Yes.
That's not the true gospel.
Right. Well, he says that, you know, he was told that this is the only true gospel, that everything else was fake, because, and that's why they brought him the plates.
Yeah. Well,
of which you can't, nobody has ever seen.
Nobody's seen them.
And, you know, not to like continue to beat this horse, because I have beat the Mormon horse a lot.
Right.
And I will continue to beat it.
Yeah.
I think because I grew up there and I got a lot of friends that are really brainwashed,
mm-hmm.
right? And hopefully they hear it. But if you really go back in history, you'll know that Joseph Smith didn't originally write the Book of Mormon.
Oh, I've heard something about this.
He added 3,300 verses to the actual Bible.
Right.
But then it was so condemned that they decided they should write it. It's a separate book. It's not a gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's how they get around the Galatians thing, right? Because they're not teaching another gospel. It's not scripture.
Hmm. Wow.
But I think that's, you know, we've talked about being a real, like, what does a Christian man look like, and that's standing up for what's
exactly
standing up for what's right. And when I say what's right, I mean what's right before God.
Right. What's right morally, and what's right politically.
Yeah.
Don't often go hand in hand.
Well, they absolutely don't. They can't.
Right.
And I hate to say it like that, but to me, just because it's right politically has nothing to do with morals.
Exactly.
Right. But I also think that people don't recognize that without God, there's no moral authority.
There's not.
Right?
There's not. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. We have.
And that was even something that was brought up in our small group Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was funny. And I was thinking, I got to call Rick and tell him about this because we just talked about it. But
yeah,
it was that exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we started in Genesis 1:1. And it was just a the small group discussion was cultural conversations. And so we talked about, you know, how so many different beliefs in what people call religion, yeah, you know,
that's a key, right? What they call religion.
Right. Have you seen, there's it's a movie on Amazon Prime. It's called Before the Wrath. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Okay. Rebecca and I rented it.
Okay.
On advice of one of my brothers.
Okay.
In the club. And some of the things that are in this movie will make you go, I've never thought about this.
Hmm.
But it's backed up with scripture.
Okay.
And it's not an interpretive type of thing where, you know, you can interpret it one way in actual conversation in the context.
Yeah.
So it's not cherry picked scripture.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's contextual. And it's historical referencing.
Before the wrath.
Before the wrath.
Okay.
So check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reason I say that is because it references different religions and things with the just like the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Of how it doesn't claim to be scripture per
right,
se,
right.
But claims to be something in addition to.
Yeah. Like it's a, I don't know the right word that they use, but it is in addition to, right? It's mm-hmm. like it helps you understand the Bible, right? I don't get it. And so like I've asked people before, well, you know, like in the Book of Mormon and Second Nephi, it says that your place in heaven will be determined based on your works and faith.
Mm.
And works is first.
Right.
And they absolutely believe that it's based on your works. And that's why they believe in three tiers of heaven.
Right. And the missionary right. trips and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the three tiers because based on your works will determine which tier you go to. I'm just saying that's in the Book of Mormon.
I know. I know. And I haven't read the entire Book of Mormon and don't plan to.
Yeah.
But yeah. I should have adjusted that a little bit better today.
No, you're okay. So how, if somebody just asked you, I want to be a good Christian man.
I say, look at Rick. don't look at me.
Don't look at
no,
me.
No, here's the thing. If somebody asked me that, I would encourage them to, number one, find someone that wants to be a better Christian man as well.
I agree with that.
Because you can't. This was never meant to be a solo journey.
Yeah.
Never was.
Yeah, right? Three strands, right?
Right, exactly. Well, Paul never went out by himself.
That's right.
Every missionary journey he was on, he had somebody with him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the cool thing about that is Paul sat at the feet of the apostles, the disciples, yeah. for 10 years before he went out on his first missionary journey.
It's crazy.
It is. Why? Because he wanted to know, well, there was a couple of reasons, but the main reason was he wanted to know that he was ready.
He wanted to be prepared.
Right.
You know, it's easy to, you know, say, I'm going to go do this.
Yeah.
Right. But when I really started like working hard, like I was online, like taking courses,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, Old Testament courses, New Testament yeah. courses, right? All the fundamentals. What is the theology of this, right?
Numbers and 1 Kings and 2 Kings were hard, weren't they?
Hard.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my favorites was Judges, to be honest with you.
I like Judges.
I loved it. I've done a couple studies on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did one in my Old Testament class, and then I did a Right Now Media Judges thing that was amazing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. J.D. Greer.
Wow.
I mean, if you have Right Now Media—
I don't anymore.
I'm sure you do. They don't delete anybody's access.
Well, I still have it then. I haven't used it in a while.
You know, but I did a judge's study there too, and love it. Mm-hmm. You know, but when I think back, you know, I did like a one-on-one discipleship with a guy for a year.
Yeah, I did. We call it D groups. I did a D group with three other guys for 2.5 years.
Yeah, and you know, as I went through that, there was a period of time that I thought, like, what? I'm not getting anything out of this. Mm-hmm. But I look back at it now, I'm like, yeah, that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Probably should do some more of that stuff.
Yeah.
But it goes back to, like you said, Paul didn't do anything alone, and I was trying to do this podcast alone. Right?
Yeah.
And God kept saying, Rick, this ain't right.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
Yeah.
Talking about what makes a Christian man.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's an important thing to realize, though, is that you can't navigate it by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and we started off talking, or we talked at the beginning about asking pastors who pastors them.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I've been a Christian since May the 10th of 1980. Okay. I turned 53 yesterday.
Happy birthday, by the way.
You wish me happy birthday, but thank you again.
I know.
But the thing is, in 43 years, now not all 43 of those years were productive. Okay. Let me start off by saying that.
Yeah.
However, the majority of my life, I have been a believer. I've never walked away from that belief.
Well, I think that's key, right? I think it's key to recognize that, like, even though, you know, I grew up in Utah, I believed in God. Mm-hmm. I just didn't believe what they were selling.
Right.
And for that reason, I didn't go to church, and I did a lot of things I shouldn't do, just like you did, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I always believed in God. Mm-hmm. Now,
does that? Okay, go ahead. You know where I'm going with this.
Ask your question.
Yeah. So here's my question. So just does a belief in God equal salvation?
No.
See, that's
no.
Exactly.
No. Now, 15 years ago, I would have said, absolutely, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But what I know today is I'm not a good person.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And just because I believe in God doesn't mean I'm going to heaven. It is not salvation.
Right.
Right. What has to occur is that I have to step outside of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I have to be man enough to say, this is the truth.
This is it.
I have to be man enough to say, I'm going to follow even when it's hard. Mm-hmm. Right. I have to be man enough to say, help me. Mm-hmm. God, help me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do today.
Exactly.
And when he answers, I have to be man enough to listen.
Yep.
And he will answer. I think sometimes people don't get an answer like, he didn't answer me today, so I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing, right?
Right.
But that's not how it works.
That's not it at all.
I've told people before, I said, you know, when you were in school and you were taking a test, the teacher was quiet. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're being tested.
Maybe.
And that's why God's quiet.
Yep. And I like that illustration. I do. I like the illustration a lot. The teacher was quiet.
Yeah. And he's trying to teach you something right now.
And I need a lot of that.
Me too.
I need a lot of teaching. We have things in Forge Brotherhood that of course, we're always trying to encourage each other to grow in the Lord. You know, we have the weekly Bible study. We have the daily, you know, devotionals that we do as in our crew and other crews do them as well. You know, there's always the encouragement from brothers and bros, you know, of different things.
Yep.
One of the cool things that I like to do is, when I get to know somebody, whether it be a prospect, a hang around, or a full patch member, you know, I already know full patch members, but what I'm saying is you get to know somebody in that process and you learn about their family.
Yeah.
I have kind of a set criteria of questions that I ask. You know, tell me about yourself. Tell me about what do you do for a living. Tell me about your family. Tell me what you do in your local church.
Right, right.
You know,
I think that's important.
Those are three things that I want, because if you tell me what you do for a living, well, I work nights, or I'm a truck driver, right, or whatever, then I know I have an idea of things that I can pray for your encouragement, because you may be missing the body gathering together.
Yeah.
You know, tell me about your family. You know, what, I got a wife and three kids, or I got a wife and two stepkids and a, you know, one on the way, or, you know, something like that. So
right.
I have an idea of how to, I have stepkids, you know, so I can understand some of those things that you're going through. And even though my stepkids are older, you know, there was, you know, I may have some advice. It may not be good, but I may have some advice, yeah, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, because I may have some advice too.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, how do you serve in your local church? You know, we obviously, in being a sold out follower of Jesus and wanting to know more and having that hunger and that desire to know more about him through his word.
Yeah.
Then obviously, and we've talked about that before too, you know, faith without works is dead. And what are you doing to further the kingdom of God? What are you doing today to make God famous?
How many times when you ask that question of, you know, because I ask similar questions of, you know, people who, you know, because we get all the time, oh, I want to yeah, ride with you guys.
Right? Yeah.
And I try to be open, but I also want people to recognize this isn't for the faint of heart.
No.
Right?
No.
I know Forge Brotherhood isn't. Bikers for Christ no, isn't. You just don't get you a don't, patch.
Right.
And so I want to know, like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Like, I need you to recognize that this is going to take some time.
Right.
And so I'm asking questions too, mm-hmm, because, you know, if they got five kids at home under the age of 10,
you're right, going to have a time constraint.
it might be a problem.
Yeah.
And those kids need their dad.
Right.
Right. I can't be asking you to make runs to Georgia, last minute.
Right.
And expect you to be able to take the kids to church.
Right.
Right. And I got to be open with people about that. Like, here's some of the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, that's probably one of the things I've struggled with the most, taking over, you know, a chapter and now the state is, different people have different expectations of what, right, what the ministry requires.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like?
Yeah.
Right.
And how do you put that? How do you put what the ministry looks like to you,
yeah,
out to somebody so that it doesn't seem like that you're trying to change the direction of what the ministry looks like?
It's hard.
It is.
It's hard.
It is. That's one of the cool things about being one of the first P's in Force Brotherhood in the state of Tennessee.
There's a part of me that's a little jealous, I'll be honest.
Yeah. The expectations were about this high.
But let's be honest, right? While the expectations may have been like this, right, the
responsibilities,
the eyes on you,
yeah,
from this community.
Right.
Right, because of, you know, we're not going to talk about old business, but of previous stuff.
Previous stuff, yeah.
Right?
Right.
You know, the eyes on you were
huge.
Like, bigger than they needed to be.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Now, praise God that, you know,
doors are open.
Doors have opened.
Yes.
Right? And God is opening them. And,
right.
And so while you do have the luxury of being the first P in the state, you were also the one standing up saying, we're here.
Yeah.
Right? We're here and we want to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And being open to the way, you know, the local dominant wanted it done.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's true. That's exactly right.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is. It is. But at the same time, not just following the rules that the local dominant wanted us to follow or wants us to still follow, that we do, but also making sure that no matter what rule they want us to follow, that God is still not just our priority, but God's our life.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Somebody asked me, would you still be doing this mission if you didn't have that patch on your back? Yes, yeah, sir.
Absolutely.
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 So then the next question was, well, why do you need the patch on your back?
It's a brotherhood.
Well, not just that, but, you know, there's more doors that are opened because of what we wear on our back.
Yeah,
for
I agree.
We work.
Well, I agree with that. Like, would I still be doing ministry to motorcyclists? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right. Would I be allowed to go the places I'm allowed to go today?
Without your backpatch?
Without my backpatch.
No.
Not even close.
Nowhere close.
No. I couldn't go to dinner nights.
No. Right?
I'm not going to be invited to any party, right?
You couldn't just go up and knock on the door of a clubhouse and be hugged as you're walking in the door.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you and I will go someplace and, you know, I'm trying to think of the right word to say, influential people will make it a point to come and say hi. Right?
Yep.
And that wouldn't have happened without the patch.
No.
Right? Now, do I believe that if I didn't wear the patch today, that I would still have the respect of those people and I could go? Probably. But that doesn't mean that it would always be that way.
Right.
Right? You know, you're one mess up away. It's like that one email, right? You're one email away from doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
And I think you went through that, right?
Because I did.
You were with
another
ministry,
mm-hmm.
and everybody knew who you were. You were right. Everywhere.
And that's the thing, because when I started in ministry in Middle Tennessee, I was with a internationally recognized association.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Left that association and there was a lot of prayer for years that had gone into that decision.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Okay. And even in the old business,
yep.
People knew me, influential people knew me.
Yep.
But because of
old business,
I was not able to be successful for the kingdom because of that old business.
That's right. That's right.
So now then, it was like a light switch when Forged Brotherhood started, because people knew who I was. And look, folks, I'm not saying I'm a good guy. I'm not saying that I'm a, you know, I'm the typical godly man. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is that people knew what I stood for and the way that I would continue to stand for it, and knowing that I was in the right. How do I say this and be? Then I was in the right.
I think you guys will learn as we continue to do this. There's going to be a lot of very vague comments.
Exactly. And it's
part of the business that we're in, right?
Right.
Bikers for Christ is a motorcycle ministry. Forged Brotherhood is a Christian motorcycle club.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us have, we're a ministry, but we still have private club business. And,
right.
And Forged Brotherhood has private club business. And when we talk about old business, there's other things involved. Yeah. And so you're going to have some vague stuff and you're just going to have to be okay with it.
And so in saying all that, you know, now then that we're in, that I'm in, I want to say a different color.
Yeah.
Now that I'm in a different color, and that light switch has been turned on, people not only remember Batman as I was,
yep,
but they see Batman as I'm growing.
I agree with that. I agree with that. And that's just part of, you know, that being a Christian man.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Right.
And that means, like we've said from this whole thing, right, that you're willing to grow,
mm-hmm.
right? That you're willing to learn and you're willing to lay it down for God.
Right.
And if we're not willing to do that, what are we doing?
You're walking backwards.
Yeah. Just walk. We're running in place, right?
Yeah. Spinning your wheels on watermelon rinds.
Yeah. Running in quicksand.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Anything else you want to add just about being a Christian man before?
Oh, man, I've enjoyed this conversation.
I know. You said we could go on forever, and it's been over an hour.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Because it seems like we're going about 20
like
10
minutes.
Yeah.
We could keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe we'll just pick it up on the next one. I don't know, but.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah, but I have really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, it's been great.
It has been.
You know, I think it's just being able to just talk. I mean, just having these conversations and preparing for the conversations, I think just helps me grow too.
It does.
Right?
It does. But, and we talked about this last time, you know, hey, send us some more topics to talk about.
Absolutely.
At
hello@nomadpastor.org.
Yeah.
We'd love it.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
All right. Do you want to pray for us?
I do.
All right.
I do. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our time to not just converse with each other, Father, but to talk about you. Thank you, God, that you have brought us to a place to where you have not just called us to your ministry, Father, but you have paved a way for us to be involved in the growing of your kingdom. So, Father, I pray that you would strengthen us. I pray that you would show us how to be Christian men in a society that doesn't want to see Christian men. Help us to be lights for your kingdom and to make you famous in this land. Thank you for my friendship with Rick, Father, and thank you that you intersected our lives so many years ago. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, everybody, I just want to say thanks for listening. This is Rick and Rob with the Nomad Pastor Podcast, and we just want to say love God and love people.
Amen.
Amen.